Grace and peace to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text is the gospel, the ministry of John the Baptist. Let us bow our heads and pray. Lord, come. Come and cause your holy word to penetrate our minds, our hearts, for faith and repentance. Come. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Advent is a time of the year when we go many, many places. We go here, there, and everywhere, busy, busy, on the go. Who has been to the mall? All right, who's been to the mall two times? Three? Oh, come on. No one's been to the mall three times. Let's just go to double figures. We go shopping and shopping. Who's going to go see a movie or a concert, a show this Christmas season? That's a good thing to do, a fine thing to do. Go do that. Who's been downtown to see the lights? Maybe one around downtown. The Garths have been there. Who's just going to sit around the fireplace and roast chestnuts? Pat, what's a roasted chestnut taste like? I've never had one. Are they pretty good? I don't know either. All right. Who traveled with Dave Hart to finally find a football coach? He didn't do a bad job. We hope it all works out. Final question. Who is going to go to the desert? You're going to head to the desert, head to the wilderness, hot and dry. Well, the Holy Spirit, this Advent, would take us to the desert, the wilderness. The hot, dry desert, the wilderness of Judea. That's where we really need to go. Not the mall, the desert. And there we meet who? There we meet the voice of one crying. There we meet John the Baptist and the word of God that he speaks. You know, we want Advent, we want this season to be a merry season, a happy, peaceful, no burdens, no stress. We all want that to be comfortable. It's a great time of the year. John the Baptist out in the desert won't let us be so comfortable. It's not so comfortable to go out to a hot, dry desert and see John the Baptist. What are we to learn? Why does the Spirit bring us out to the desert, the wilderness? You can imagine. Well, you see, we are the crowds going out to see him. We're not John the Baptist. We are the crowds that come out. He eats locusts while hunting. Who is this guy? He's a prophet of God. What's he have to say? What's he doing? We're the crowd coming out. You're the crowd coming here today. We're out in the desert, if you will, in the gospel lesson. And there are three things we are to learn. First of all, as we go out in the hot, dry desert, God would teach us to sweat. We are to sweat and sweat and sweat in the desert. And I'm not talking about sweating because of the sun in the sky. I'm talking about sweating and sweating over our sins that offend God, that offend other people, and that lead to the fire of hell. We are to sweat under the burden of sin. Feel the burden, know the burden, know it's impossible for us to take it away, know we deserve hell because of it. That's what I mean by sweating. John would show us just how enormous our sins are and how impossible it is for us to overcome them and really be ready for the coming of the Lord. As I mentioned in class, he speaks, the prophet Isaiah speaks, but John no doubt preached this also. He talks about being prepared is filling in a valley, removing a mountain or a hill, making a crooked road straight. That's a lot of work. I doubt if anybody here can do that. Can you fill in a valley? How many of you ever removed a mountain? Here's your shovel. Go out to the Smokies. I think we'll be waiting for a while before you can remove a mountain. The Spirit's teaching us how enormous our sins are and how impossible it is for us to do anything about it. You can't make a crooked road straight. You can't do it. You can't fill in the valley. The valley is the emptiness of righteousness. It's the emptiness of good works in God's sight. We all have a valley in our hearts. We're empty of all that. We can't do enough to fill in the valley. The mountain is the mountain of pride and sin. It is a mountain, friends, not a molehill. It is a mountain that's ever accumulating. Every week we add to the mountain. We sin and sin. It's a mountain. We can't remove a mountain. And so we're stuck. It's impossible. We sweat. because I deserve hell. The axe is at the root of the trees. You don't bear fruit. You don't fill in the valley. You don't remove the mountain. Fire. You've heard the expression, never let them see a sweat. I guess that's okay for business. For sports, don't let them see a sweat. Keep your cool. God wants to see a sweat. A broken, contrite heart. Sweating tears of repentance. Lord, have mercy. I got a huge valley. I don't do enough. I got a huge mountain. I do lots of bad stuff. I sin. And I deserve hell. What did Jesus sweat when he was bearing the sins of the world? A few tears? He sweat his own blood in the garden. He didn't only sweat blood, then he was crucified and blood poured out to wash away the mountain and fill in the valley. And I wonder if we've ever one time even cried over our sins. Unless, of course, we've been caught. Then maybe our fears are kind of fake. Please don't hurt me. I've been caught. I'm really sorry. Are we tired of the fiscal cliff? Who's tired of the fiscal cliff? If I hear that one more time on the TV, I'm going to break my TV. Maybe we should just need to, do we need to throw our politicians over the fiscal cliff? I don't know. I'll give you another cliff we really got to be worried about. And that is the fiery cliff. That goes down and down and down and down to the fires of hell. John warns about that. And there's only one person that can save you from that fire and rescue you before you fall over the cliff, and his name is Jesus. All mankind shall see his salvation. Cling to Christ, hold on to Christ, believe in Christ. He alone can save you. That's John the Baptist. Sweat over your sins and turn and run to Christ and hold on. John tells us to repent of sin, not to rationalize sin. He says, make straight the path. Don't make excuses for going down the wrong path. He says, bow down before your God. Don't boast of all the good things you've done to Santa Claus or anybody else. He would say, claim your sin rather than blame it on somebody else. John says, in other words, sweat over your sins. And don't you dare try to sweep them under the rug. But there's more. John doesn't leave us sweating in despair out in the desert. Secondly, we learn in the desert to swim. We learn in the desert to swim in the cool, refreshing waters of our baptism. John, as I mentioned in class again today, John's main ministry was not law. He did preach the law, tough law. His main ministry, as all the prophets, is the gospel. We don't call him John the Blaster. Let's just blast the daylights out of him. He's called John the what? John the Baptist. For he baptized. And why did he baptize? He baptized, as the text says, for the forgiveness of sins. That's John's ministry. To remove the mountain through baptism. To fill in the valley through baptism. To make the path straight through baptism. Where we get the Holy Spirit and faith. That's the ministry of John, a ministry of the gospel. John the Baptist, we call him. The most important words in the gospel lesson are not prepare the way or repent or you brood of vipers. They're all important, but I suggest the most important words of the gospel lesson are for the forgiveness of sins. It's tucked away there in Luke 3. Say those words with me. For the forgiveness of sins. A little louder, church. For the forgiveness of sins. Though we sweat over sin, we can swim in the waters of our baptism. I'm forgiven, I'm washed, I'm clean, I'm purified, I'm refined. God's removed the mountain, filled in the valley, and so I'm his child. We come to the water, a brood of vipers, children of Satan, if you will. But we leave baptism, the children of God, the bride of Christ. Forgiven and redeemed. We come to the water dirty and filthy with sin. We leave cleansed, purified, able to worship God as his dear children, righteous and holy. That's the power of baptism. We come repenting, I'm sorry, God have mercy. And we leave rejoicing for he's had mercy. The Jordan River, I've been there years ago. It's just a dirty little river. like most rivers, dirty little river. But when you had John the Baptist and the Word, not John the Baptist, but really it's the Word of God spoken by John, you put the Word of God, the voice of God Almighty who created the heavens and earth, you put that voice in that water's no longer dirty water. Just like this water with the Word of God is not just mere water, as Luther says. But you add the Word of God, you add the promise of the Holy Spirit and His power, then it's a cleansing flood. It's pure water, holy water. The Spirit through that water washes and cleanses. And so us in our baptism, even though I was baptized 49 years ago, I'm washed and cleansed today, December 9, 2012, by the power of that baptismal water, because God's Word was in that water forgiving my sin. I am baptized. Say that with me. I am baptized. That says it all. That's the gospel. Washed, cleansed. I'm ready now. Did you see the picture of what happened in New York City a few weeks ago? I think a couple weeks ago. This has went viral, as they say. Hundreds of thousands of people have looked at this picture. Millions, I think, now. You know what it's a picture of? The people in the picture were actually on the Today Show last week, I think. You know what the picture is? New York City. It's a real picture. It's a picture of a policeman in New York City, who's bending down and putting boots on a poor homeless man. This poor man didn't have any socks or shoes in the cold of New York City, and so a policeman, in the goodness of his heart, bought him some boots and was putting the boots on this homeless man out somewhere around Times Square, and a tourist took a picture, put the picture online. Now hundreds of millions of people looked at this. They were on the Today Show. Mercy. It's a good picture. Praise God for that policeman. But what this makes me sad, is mercy that rare in our world that we're in shock when we see it? Maybe mercy is rare in New York City. Who would even buy boots for a homeless guy? Maybe mercy is rare there. Maybe mercy at times is rare here in Knoxville on our streets. But mercy is not rare in the house of God. It is the usual thing, the normal thing, the always thing that God does. God shows mercy here. It's not abnormal. We don't have to take pictures. It's what God does. Where in baptism, God doesn't put boots on us. God covers us from head to toe with His righteousness. And it doesn't end there. God then feeds us His Word, feeds us communion. I don't think the policeman took the guy home and fed him, although it would have been kind too, and what he did was kind. I don't think He did that. God feeds us. God welcomes us to His home. And God will think of us as His own home in heaven. And we tend to take it all for granted. Mercy. Common here. Come and get it. And then last of all, we learn to do it all quite swiftly. Sweat in the desert. Swim in the desert. And do it swiftly. Do it now. When I read John the Baptist, there's an incredible sense of urgency. Nowhere in the text does he mention tomorrow. John doesn't say, hey folks, consider what I've said and maybe come back tomorrow or when it fits into your schedule. When you're not so busy at the mall, when you haven't taken the kids to see Santa Claus, come back when it fits into your schedule, when everything's okay in your life, come back and maybe we'll get you baptized. We'll see. None of that nonsense. Repent and repent now. Be baptized now. Don't wait till tomorrow. You may not have tomorrow. Do it now. Believe and believe now. Turn to Christ now. Hold on to Christ now. Follow Christ now. Now is the day. Not tomorrow, now. God's Word is right in front of you. The River Jordan's right here, now. May the Spirit draw you. It's urgent. I saw on a commercial last night what I've been looking for. It's the wonderful thing that comes out every Advent Christmas season of what you now can go get again. It's out every Christmas. What do we all need to go get? I saw it on a commercial. I was amazed. What do we all got to have? A chia head. Am I right? Did you see the commercial? I've been looking for these. When's the chia heads going to come out? Then I know it's Christmas time. And now they have a SpongeBob chia head, I guess. and a Hello Kitty chia head. They're just going all. I mean, many people will order and order and order chia heads, chia, whatever they are. I got to have this, I got to have that. We're ever looking for a new thing. You're looking for a new gift to give your family member because you've gotten everything else. What do I give them? Something new. When are we going to realize the new thing is the Ancient of Days who lies in a manger? The new thing is the water of your baptism that gives you new life today and every day into heaven. The new thing is to eat the body and drink the blood of the crucified, risen Savior for the forgiveness of your sins. This is the new thing. The new thing is Christ, life, forgiveness, salvation. When are we going to learn it? And come get that. And bring your friends to come get it. Not tomorrow, come get it today. And Wednesday and Sunday. Come, bring your friends. Christmas, 16 days away. You, dear friend, may not have 16 days. Your friend may not have 16 days. May not have 5 days. Swift. It's urgent. You can put off shopping. Don't put off dropping on your knees before God in repentance. You can put off the Christmas cookies. Don't put off communing at the table of God for the forgiveness of your sins. You can put off the Christmas concert and hearing all those great voices. Don't put off hearing the voice of John the Baptist. Repent, be baptized, believe. You okay going to the desert today? It's good to go out to the desert. May we sweat. May we swim in the forgiving waters of baptism today. And may we do it all swiftly. Amen. We stand. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.